Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Appreciate so much your presence here. Appreciate so much your patience with me today, as our usual preacher Zeke is out of town on a much deserved vacation. And so today you get me, and tonight you get Tim. I'm sure it'll be much better tonight, but we'll go there. First things first. I apologize. Apparently I've already been told I made an unfortunate choice of color coordination this morning. I'm sorry. Or lack thereof, anyway. I pray and hope that it's not a distraction to you. And that being said, now that I've distracted everybody, let's put it out of our mind and focus on the lesson today. Thank you for that. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 1. There are no slides today, just us and our Bibles, and we'll talk about Ephesians chapter 4. Unity in the body of Christ is one theme we're going to talk about this morning. Beginning in verse 1, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So what's Paul saying here is this. He says, here's what I want you to do. Behave in a manner worthy of Christ Jesus. Be humble and gentle with one another. Be patient with each other. Bear each other's faults in love. And most important, maintain the unity of the Spirit and be at peace with each other. Because of our common faith that unites us with God. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And then he describes some individual roles in the church. He goes on in verse 7. It says, but grace was given to each of you, each of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Skipping down to verse 11, he said, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children by human cunning, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, who from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What's he talking about? Paul says we need preachers and teachers and elders to equip the saints for the work of ministry. This word ministry here means service. How can we serve each other to build up the body of Christ? To strengthen church in the unity of our faith so that we can withstand false teaching and the deceitful schemes of the devil. And so we are to speak the truth. How? In love. Love guided by the gospel of Christ. Paul says even when we were telling others about the gospel, maybe even correcting them of error or false teaching, that we are to be careful even to do that with love for others. He goes on, he also says that Christ is the head of the body. As we make up the members of the body of Christ, Christ is the head of the body, we are the members of the body. And when we all work together in the right way, the body of Christ will grow and build itself up in love. So our working together helps us to build one another up, build up the body, the whole body of Christ, this body of Christ that's here, the church that meets here this morning. There's a similar passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can turn there. We'll read together there as well. It uses this body analogy. And I think it will help us better understand the relationship of how the individual parts are to work together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Beginning in verse 12, actually. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. God arranged the members of the body in the way that He chose. Not the way we choose, the way He chose. We're to follow His guide in that so that we could work together to strengthen the body as a whole. This morning I want to talk about some practical applications of each member of the body interacts with each other. There won't be many slides today. Actually, there's only one slide today, and I'll show you that in just a moment. Another favorite part about this sermon is one of my favorite songs is "It Won't Be Very Long." So we'll keep to that framework as well. Some of the practical applications of how each member of the body interacts with the other. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I already know some things I can do and some other things I cannot do. And you may be right. But in most cases, I want you to consider what I have to say. And maybe, just maybe, I can convince you to expand your horizons, to step outside your comfort zone, as we say. Within, of course, the teaching of the Scriptures. I would not ever encourage someone to do something that's not authorized in God's Word. There's a favorite saying of mine. It goes like this. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. A fellow named Arthur Ashe said that. Arthur Ashe was a tennis player, famous tennis player back in the 70s, I think. Pretty good tennis player from what I recall. That's not important for our lesson today, but that's who I attribute the quote to. The road to serving in the body of Christ is not difficult. It does require that you take the first step. If you are not serving in a certain area, maybe you need to equip yourself or be equipped to serve in that way. You need to take the first step. Start where you are. Does not matter how long you've been a Christian. You can always grow in the Lord and be as a member of the body. You will help build up the body of Christ. And depending on what that activity is that you want to do, it will require you to take that first step. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zones, whether it be teaching a Bible class that you haven't done before or leading in public prayer. Now, not everybody can teach a Bible class. Not everybody can lead in public prayer. We understand the confines of the authority of the Word of God. But there are some who are able or can be able to do such things. And I'm encouraging you to do that or to think about that very seriously. By working with what you have, use what you have. You can accumulate more experience and explore your expertise. You can get better at things as you go along, as more that you try things. You'll be able to do much more than you originally thought possible. It goes with anything in life. You have to practice. You got to start somewhere. Practice, get better. After a while, you'll be able to do it, let's say, with ease. So, start where you are. You'll have to start somewhere. Begin now to be equipped for the work of the ministry, for the work of service. If you're a fairly new Christian, you may need a little more seasoning before you jump right into preaching or teaching. But that does not mean that you cannot begin learning how to preach or how to teach. And what does that begin with is knowledge of the Scriptures. Start there. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." King James, the King James Version uses the word study to show thyself approved unto God. Same principle, same idea, same thought there. So a good amount of preparation is required. So start early. Start now. Start where you are. Use what you have. Lord's church needs workers who are dedicated to the work. We have many folks in this congregation who are working hard, working diligently to build up the body. And I want to say on behalf of the elders, we thank you. We appreciate each one of you that do these things. You know what it is, each work that you do, men and women doing certain things. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But can we do more? I think the answer is yes. We can. We can all do more. So a good amount of preparation is required. So start early and start now. Use what you have. Okay, so what do we have? What is that we have that we could use to build up the body? I would say that we have a life. We are living, breathing creatures. We have a life that must be used in the service of God. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Romans 12, beginning of verse 1 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul writes that we are to give ourselves completely to God as if a living sacrifice, because this is the way we worship. This is our spiritual worship. We must give ourselves, all of ourselves, to the work of the church. Give ourselves. Secondly, we can give of our means. Give of our means. We've already given of our means here this morning, but consider that as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning of verse 1, says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." So they gave themselves to the Lord, then they gave of their means and beyond all that they could and more. They had a heart of service. They wanted to help others. And so we too must dedicate our lives to the uses and service that God commanded us to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you're going." Whatever you find to do, whatever work or service that is, do it with all of your strength. Do it heartily. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning, didn't we, kids? Do it heartily. Work heartily as for the Lord and not as to men. Thirdly, we can give of our time. We can give our time. In this busy world, we only have so much time. We have to go here and do this, and we have to go to work, and we have to take care of the family, and we have to go and take care of this and go to ball practice and all these sort of things that take our time. We need to dedicate ourselves to the work of the church. In this busy world, we only have so much time to get things done. How are we using this time that God has given us? We need to make the most of our time, right? We really don't know how much time we have in this life under the sun. So make the most of the time that we do have. Don't waste that time in useless endeavors, time wasters that distract us from serving the Lord. We should consider the time we have as a gift from the Lord and therefore cherish it and use it. Give it back to Him. This is one way to use your time wisely. Consider what you're doing. Consider how you're using your time now. If you think, look and see that maybe I can give more time to God, more time to the service of others. If there's an opportunity, an opening there, take it. Do that. You will do well to do that. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 15. Ephesians 5 and 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time." Because why? Because the days are evil. Are we using our time wisely? Some of the best uses of our time are just a few I want to point out to your attention. Some of the best uses of our time is time spent in prayer. You need to consider the time that we spend in prayer and communication to God. Whether we go into our room and we close the door and we are alone, whether we pray together corporately here in this assembly. Time spent in prayer is time well spent. Consider also time spent in opening and getting into the Word of God. Studying. We talked about studying to show thyself approved. I like that. How about time spent doing for others? Think about that. Think about visiting the sick. Maybe we have folks that can't get out. They need our help. They just need somebody to come by and sit with them and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. Let's talk. Let's just sit and visit for a time." Time well spent. Can't get out? Call them on the phone. Every one of you in here, every one of you in here has a communication device in your pocket or in your purse somewhere. Nowadays it's like that. We're not tied to the landline at the house much anymore. Call them on the phone. Text them. We have email now too, electronic mail. Try that. Communicate with them. If that's all you can do, use what you have. Do what you can. And there's no time like the present. Do it now. Start today. If we treat time as a present, will it be so much more valuable when we give it away? So give your time wisely. Fourthly, we have talents. We have talents. Each one of us has talents to use in building up the body. Talents. Here I'm talking about skills. Aptitude. Something that you can do already. Maybe you have a penchant for being friendly to folks, being gentle with folks, kindness. Calling them up on the phone, saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. What's going on?" Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. Slow down. Is referred to as the parable of the talents. Now we know that these talents he's talking about here is a sum of money. But how many of us has read this passage of scripture and thought, what if I just used the definition that I know about talents? Talents, aptitudes, skills, whatever that is, in the place of money. You can do both, I think. Think of it in that way. The parable of the talents. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted him with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, another he gave 2, to another one each according to his ability. Then he went to another one," I'm sorry, I misread that, "to each according to his ability." His ability might be indicate that they had abilities or aptitude or skill for that sort of thing. "Then he went away. Verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. He took his skills and he practiced them and made them bigger and better. Verse 17, so also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, look, master, you delivered to me five talents, and here I have made five talents more. I have used these talents and doubled them for you. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also had two talents, came forward saying, master, you delivered me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been made faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 24, he also had received the one talent, came forward saying, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here's what's yours. Dusted the dirt off of it and handed it back to him. But his master said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given and will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are you an unprofitable servant? Have you taken what talent that you do have and withheld it? Buried it in the ground, hidden it away, and not used it to build up the body as a whole? Think about that. Use the skills that you have. Begin using them right away. I think the point that is made here in this parable is exactly what's on the screen behind me. Start where you are. Use what you have and do what you can. Use the talent, your natural aptitude, to give what the Lord gave to you for His work in the Lord. There is work that we all can do. We can teach a Bible class. And this is something that men and women can do as well. We have Bible classes for all ages here at Eastside. And just about any point in time, there's a need for teachers. Volunteer. Don't fall into the mindset that you're not qualified to teach. Equip yourself to teach or be equipped to teach. Get with Darren or Zeke or Tim, somebody, and they can help you. Maybe even put you with somebody else that you can sit in the class and learn from them how to teach a Bible class. Maybe it's the little kids back there. I know there's a lot going on with regard to the younger kids, even with the junior high and the high school class over there as well. So it's important to get involved in teaching others. You have a wealth of knowledge already in you. Share it. Share the gospel, especially with our own kids here in our Bible classes here at Eastside. There are also from time to time opportunities to teach out here in the auditorium. Make your wishes known if you would like to do something like that, and we'll try to help you get involved in that. Get involved in the teaching program at this church. We can preach the word. I'm standing here in front of you today. Zeke's out of town. The elders got together several weeks ago and said, "Who's going to preach for us while he's gone?" And so, among ourselves, we said, "Well, let's see if we can get Joseph Casimir. He's come and talked to us, spoke to us before at VBS, and so we did. He's going to be here next week to preach to us. And today you have me. I'm sorry about that, but we'll get through this. And tonight, Tim will bring us a lesson. We look forward to that. If you've never preached a sermon, well, there's a first time for everything. Some of us have the aptitude, the skill, if you will, of public speaking. Some folks, not so much. But you have to start somewhere. And repetition will help you to get better at each time that you do that. There's a first time for everything. Be prepared. Prepare yourself to step up. The elders are supportive of men that have a desire to preach. We have in the past had men of our congregation preach for us on occasion. And if you make it known to us that you would like to bring a lesson, we will keep you in mind the next time the need arises, and we'll help you through that. Think about that thing, those things. You may not know that you can do it unless you try. Work up a lesson. Work up a lesson. Work up a sermon and be prepared to present it. Nothing wrong with keeping that pages in the back of the Bible. Maybe you'll be called on at the last minute sometime to present that lesson. Be ready for that. Let it be known that you are ready to present that lesson. Just a couple of ways. The point here, folks, is this. As Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Preach the word. We've got to be ready to do that. We have to be ready to do that. We can teach others. We can teach others, not only in a Bible class setting. We can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others around us, people that we come in contact with every day. What did we talk about in Bible class this morning? Who are our peers? Who are the ones that we would share the gospel with? And we said, the people that we go to school with. Older folks, who can you share the gospel with? Your neighbors. The people you work with, they need the gospel too. That is what we are called to do. Share the gospel of Christ with others. Our next door neighbors, people at work, friends at school, the guy at the grocery store, everywhere. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Go into all the world. All the world starts right here where we are and goes outward from here. Does that make sense? Right here from where we are, completely out until we can't go no farther. No matter where we are, we need to be preaching the gospel to every creature. And we can pray. We talked about this before. We can pray for the sick, to those that are grieving. We can pray for folks needing encouragement. We can pray for our church, our preacher, our elders and deacons, and our members. I think we do a good job of that in our public prayers. And on behalf of us in leadership, we thank you for your prayers on our behalf. We covet your prayers. Thank you so much for that. James chapter 5, beginning of verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises." Verse 16 says, "The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." 17, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Prayer can accomplish much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 3 words. Pray without ceasing. Continue to pray all the time. Men, you can lead the congregation in prayer. As we have done already in our worship this morning, you can also lead your family in prayer. And not only at the dinner table and bedtime, and that's important, but other times as well. Matthew 6 and verse 6 says, "But when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Pardon. Pray. Pray all the time. That's how you can build up the body. We can serve others. There are many opportunities to serve in the Lord's church, and you do not have to be an elder or a deacon or a preacher to serve. Everyone who is to be about serving the Lord in some way, everyone is to be about serving the Lord in some way. The most visible one is in public worship. Serving the Lord's Supper is usually the first place that men get to serve in the public worship service. You see them waiting the table, passing the trays around. Most men will start out in a non-speaking role, and after a time, they may be called upon to lead one of the prayers at the table. This is a good work. We now have a brief talk before we take the Lord's Supper. Moses did a fine job this morning, didn't he? People stepping up to lead in worship. This short talk is something to help us focus our minds on what we are doing and why we are doing it. This is another way to serve. Public prayers. We have the first prayer. We call it the opening prayer. And then we have a closing prayer. We have a man get up and lead us all together in a prayer. That's what we do publicly. But let's not forget about our private conversations with God, our private prayers and supplications to the Father. Whether it be with our family around the table or in our room with the door closed in an intimate conversation with God the Father. Remember to pray. We need men to lead us in singing praise to our God, as set forth in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and Ephesians 5 and verse 19. We've done well this morning already in singing praise to the Lord God in heaven. Let's continue to do that. If you have an aptitude for leading singing, let us know. We'll help you. And there are some not so public ways to serve. Not so public. We don't get to see these things going on. And I'm probably not going to name them all, but we can help you with that as well. One important way to serve is to help prepare the communion trays before services. It's not difficult. It takes a little time and effort on your part, but it's not hard. There's a sign-up sheet in the hallway back there. Put your name down. If you don't know how to do it, get with somebody. They'll help you. They'll show you what to do. That's one way to serve. That's a very important way to serve, because if the trays don't get out here, we don't partake of the Lord's Supper. We'll figure out how to do it, but it's better if we have them all ready for us when we come together. Encourage others. This is, I don't know, it seems to be like a no-brainer, but encourage each other. Build one another up. Say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you," or "I thought about you this week. How are you doing? How's your wife? How's your family? Are they doing okay?" Encourage each other. Greet visitors. We have visitors among us today. Thank you for coming. We appreciate so much your presence here. We hope that we greeted you at the door and said, "Hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming." We want to make them feel welcome in our assembly each time that we come together. And it means so much to them. If someone comes from another place and comes in here and they walk in and sit down and nobody speaks to them, and at the end of services are over and they walk out and go to their car and nobody spoke to them, you think they're going to come back? You think they're going to want to come back to that assembly? You think they're going to be interested in godly things and wanting to learn more about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe on their own, but it'd be so much better if we would encourage them by greeting them, saying, "Hey, we're happy to see you. Good to see you here. You come back every chance you get." Do that. Prepare a meal for someone. Maybe they're sick or in most cases, a family has lost a loved one and is grieving. Prepare a meal for them. Help make some food for them. Or maybe even just because. So I want to make you a pie here. Take this. I want you to have this. I hope it makes you feel better. Not just pie. You understand what I'm saying. Smile and encourage others around you. Be happy, folks. God's people ought to be cheerful people. Right? As Christians, we know this world is not our home. We're going to heaven to be with Jesus. And that is why we serve to build up the body of Christ. I know I said this won't be very long, but apparently I've gone on longer than I thought I would. I'm going to try to wrap this up and get down to the end really quickly. There are many, many ways to serve here. Waiting on the table, leading, singing, lead a prayer, teach a Bible class, give a talk. We have Wednesday night talks, invitations we call them. Volunteer to work in the audio room back there. We need guys to help run the sound machine and the slides for the singing. Clean the building, very important. Nobody wants to come to a dirty building. We'd like to clean our building and have a nice place to come and worship. Lock the building. That's generally a task left to deacons, but you know what? You don't have to be a deacon to lock the building. And so much more. So can you do more? Can you step outside of your comfort zone and do more for the work of the church? I encourage you to do so. The invitation of Jesus is extended to those needing to be baptized for the remission of sins and for those in need of prayer for repentance and forgiveness of sins. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing?